This is the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show, brought to you by Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, Community First Credit Union, Farrah & Farrah, Brooks Rehabilitation, Geico, Sonny's Barbecue, your Southeast Toyota dealers, the Parks House, and by Everbank. The appearance of Pete Banaszak is made possible by the Cascades of World Golf Village. Now, to get things started, here's Cole Pepper.
Well, the Jaguars open the preseason 28-27, a loss in Philadelphia, but can you tell me any score from any Jaguars preseason game ever? The score doesn't really matter so much as what happened on the field and how the different players stood out. Some guys certainly did. We'll talk about that as we continue on here on the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show. But first, let's get you updated on some of the other games going on around the National Football League. Big day for Donovan McNabb today. The former Eagle, for the first time in his professional career, donned a different uniform, pulled on the Redskins garb, and looked very good. A little shaky start early, and then he got things going, directing two scoring drives, including a touchdown pass. Rex Grossman looked very good in relief, and it was all Washington. 42-17 over Buffalo, a victory today in the nation's capital. Going on right now, Atlanta, a 20-3 lead on Kansas City. Neither first team got much going in this ball game. It was a rather low-scoring affair early on, just 3-3 in the first quarter. So it's been mostly the backups who are getting it done for the Falcons now in a 20-3 victory. Other games that were final yesterday, New England beat New Orleans 27-24. The Saints' first teamers went scoreless in the first quarter. Baltimore topped Carolina 17-12. Jimmy Clausen's debut had some highlights, but couldn't ultimately get the ball into the end zone. Oakland, a 17-9 win at Dallas in some rumblings in Oakland from some of the folks, as Pete Banaszak told us before the ballgame. Some high hopes suddenly coming from Oakland. All right, those are the scores of the games going on around the National Football League. We will have plenty more analysis coming with Marco Coleman and Pete Banaszak as the Winn-Dixie postgame show continues. But for now, let's send it back to Philadelphia and check in with Brian Sexton.
All right, Cole, 28-27. Eagles win the preseason opener here. Second straight year that the Jaguars have come to Philadelphia and have a close loss. Of course, it matters not in the preseason. We're going to talk about players, plays, performances, not points, for the next couple of weeks. But we do have some numbers to give you. Stats check and our final stats check of the evening brought to you by Wachovia. Jaguars finished with 316 total yards, 302 from their quarterbacks in the passing game, only 14 on the ground. Now, it was 14 on the ground. Jaguars only tried to run the ball 9 times. And as Jeff alluded to, Jaguars were not concerned with the running game. They believe that's something that they can do. Jaguars did not convert, how's this, a third down or a fourth down tonight, or in the red zone. They were 0 for 11 on third and fourth down, 0 of 9 on third down. Had the ball for just 19 minutes and 19 seconds, which is amazing when you consider that they had, it seemed like they had the ball a lot in the second half. The Eagles, 496 yards of total offense, 285 from their passing attack, 211 on the ground, dominated time of possession, 40 minutes, 41 seconds. Eagles had 33 more offensive plays than the Jaguars did. And, of course, that figures when you only have the ball, or pardon me, when you don't convert on third down and can't possess the ball, it's going to put you in that position. Jaguars got 2 sacks. Jaguars gave up 2 sacks. Looking at some of the individual numbers, and again, nothing against Luke McCown. Nothing at all. Don't want to take away, but I think you got to qualify it and remember against whom he was playing. He performed flawlessly in most respects. 11 of 15, 73%, 244 yards, 3 touchdowns, his passer rating of 154.9. And remember, a perfect passer rating is 158.3. David completed 5 of 10. That's 50% for 35 yards. No touchdowns, no interceptions. His passer rating was 58.3. Trevor Harris was 6 of 9 for 67% for only 30 yards. Was sacked twice. His passer rating 71.5. But again, when you look at the people that were rushing the passer against those backup tackles, you just have to take a good hard look at every bit of it before you jump to conclusions. But let's put it this way. Vic and Jeff spoke of McCown and needing to see something from him tonight way, way back in hour number one of the Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show. So for McCown to come out tonight and answer that tells you just what he's capable of doing. And the Jaguars liked him when they traded for him. Gene Smith does not throw draft picks around very easily. Will this create a controversy? No. Jack Del Rio will squash it with Jeff Lagerman in the next few minutes with the Bubba Burgers coaches report. And probably in the media as well. Or I could be wrong. Maybe he won't squash it. Who knows? Maybe he'll take a different tack. It is just about 11 o'clock up in Philadelphia, 11 o'clock back home in Jacksonville. Let's pause 10 seconds and allow our stations time to identify themselves. You're listening to Jaguars preseason football on the Jaguars Football Network. All right, so McCown clearly the star of the show this evening with three touchdown passes. For the Eagles, Mike Vick was 11 of 17 and an interception, 60.7. Kevin Cobb, 6 of 11 for 55, had two really nice passes, one to Jeremy Maclin and the other to DeSean Jackson. And he finished with a passer rating of 83.5. Didn't see a lot from them. They got in the red zone. They couldn't do much. But he is a big, strong, young quarterback. So clearly they've got things that they're happy with and things that they want him to do better. Kafka was 3 of 7 for 76 yards, 83 passer rating. Take a look at the receiving numbers for the Jaguars. John Matthews, 4 passes this evening to lead the way, 41 yards and a touchdown. Rashad Jennings caught 3 passes, and that's going to be his role this year. He is effortless out of the backfield. You choose which running back you think catches the ball as well as any in the game. The 80s, the 90s, whatever it is. And this guy, Jennings, has the potential to be that good. Let's go down to the Jaguars locker room and check in with Jeff Lagerman, who has head coach Jack Del Rio. It's the Coach's Report brought to you by our friends at Bubba Burgers. Jeff?
All right, thank you, Brian. And here with head coach Jack Del Rio. And Jack, obviously the first preseason game, the first live action that you get to see out of your team. Your first impressions?
Well, you want me to start with the bright spots or the bad?
Let's start with the bad and finish on a good note.
All right. Well, offensively, we talked about starting fast, and we go out there and go three and out to start the game. You know, on a whole, I don't know that we converted a third down the entire night. So, obviously, not possessing the ball, that was bad. Wasn't pleased with that at all. Defensively, you know, there were so many opportunities to get off the field and make the routine plays, and we're making routine plays very difficult, and that won't bode well. You know, you've got to be able to make the routine. You're going to have tough plays. You've got to defend the routine plays. You have to make them and keep them routine, and we were not able to do that, so they piled up a lot of yardage. Bright spots, I do have a few.
Obviously, the return game. I mean, you got two rookies that are vying for time as returners. And the last count that I had, you know, Scotty McGee made a bad decision on that one punt return and kind of lost some yardage. But I think you ended up at about 259 yards in return yards.
Yeah, that was obviously a bright spot for the night because both, you know, Deji and Scotty, you know, ran the ball real hard, showed some electricity, some juice, and that was great to see. I thought Luke McCown stepped in and played real well, you know. Obviously, it wasn't against I don't know how many of their first-string guys were playing, but he did throw the ball, managed the game very well, hit a couple deep strikes to Troy and to Tyquan, who did a nice job showing their speed and getting behind the defense. So that's certainly an element that we're working on, and I was happy to see that.
I would have to think that the getting a deep threat to your offense, as it is any offense, to stretch the field has got to be one of the things that you want to find this year in camp.
Well, we've been looking for that explosiveness to add to our offense. You know, we've always been a pretty good running team. We've always been a team that, you know, is able to move the chains. I mean, uncharacteristically for us, we didn't convert any tonight because, you know, last year we were, I think, fourth or fifth in the league on third down conversions. So we know how to move the ball. But, you know, in this league, you've got to be explosive. And we've been working hard to develop that. And it was good to see that.
A concern always in the preseason, injuries. Mm-hmm. Larry Hart went down. He came back, so it looks like he's going to be okay. Mike Sims-Walker took a pretty good shot in the back of the shoulder rib area. We saw him in a sling on the sideline. What's the status with him and any others?
Yeah, I haven't heard an update on Mike. I think he, you know, got his shoulder jammed up. I think he's going to be fine. The initial reports are that it wasn't anything serious, but that he was sore. So that was good. I think Larry just got a shot in the ribs and, you know, one of those chips that the defensive ends kind of see from time to time. You've seen those, but he bounced back and played the rest of the game. So A lot of work to do, though, obviously, Jeff. You know, not real happy with the way it started. We're going to have a tough week coming in. We got Miami coming in. They know how to run the ball. And this team here ran it for over 200 yards. They didn't really even want to run it. I mean, they just kind of ran it because they could. They'd really want to throw it all night, and we allowed them to run it. So that was a little disappointing.
All right. Thank you, Jack.
Okay, Jeff. Thanks.
All right. That's the Bubba Burgers Coaches Report with Jeff Loggeman and Jack Del Rio. The first word from the head coach right here on Jaguars Radio in every Winn-Dixie postgame show. We'll take a break and return with more after this quick timeout on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back. Winn-Dixie postgame show rolls along. Hey, when the Jaguars win, everyone wins at Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue. Get a free barbecue pork sandwich with your game day ticket stub on Mondays or Tuesdays after the Jaguars win at all participating Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue restaurants. Back to the locker room with Jeff Loggeman, who has Troy Williamson, 2 catches, 101 yards, and a touchdown in Locks.
Troy, all of 2009, I'm sure it seemed like forever to get back to action. You spent 14 games on injured reserve with a shoulder. How good did it feel to be back on the field and playing?
Oh, it felt good. I was actually excited. I felt like I was gone for so long. It really felt good.
That play that you caught, I think it was 70-plus yard touchdown. We were just talking in the break. Kind of a bootleg by the quarterback, and you ran the play multiple times in the game, and I noticed that there was one instance where the receiver came back, and then in your instance, it was like a stutter go.
Right, it was, and I just had the option just to, as far as just running around and just sell a Cobb route or a comeback route and just take it upfield, which it worked out pretty good because they was in the right coverage and everything, and Luke threw a great ball and had to go out and get it.
Offensively, a lot of wide receivers battling for time. Mm-hmm. Yourself and Mike and Mike Sims-Walker and Jared obviously going to be back. Where do you feel like your group is at as a whole right now?
We some guys that like to work, and that's how we feel. We feel like we work, and we'll get placed wherever we need to be placed at. That's it. I mean, it's a competition, but we feel like we'll work with each other and make each other better.
This week's been a long week, hasn't it?
It has been a long week, a real long week. It's just good to actually get in the game and show what you've been doing all camp. So
anxious to get these preseason games over with and kind of inch closer towards the regular season and get that offense in sync and ready to roll?
Yes, I mean, but it's always good to play these preseason games, get yourself, get your feet up under, get your feet wet, and just be ready to go when it's time to go.
All right, thank you, Troy.
All right, no problem.
Loggy, I got to tell you, that may be the first time in my 17 years in this game ever hearing a player say it's good to play these preseason games.
Yeah, I'm kind of shocked by that.
That one caught me tremendously off guard.
Well, when you spend, you know, 14 games on IR, that's kind of how it works, I guess.
Yeah, it's true. Hey, injury report brought to us each week by Brooks Rehabilitation. The only one I can think of was Mike Sims-Walker, and obviously Jack just told you he didn't think it was anything serious.
No, he didn't think it was, but my impression is the opposite. Just seeing the expression on Mike's face, he looks like he's hurting a little bit.
All right. And you've had shoulder injuries before.
I have, and they're not a lot of fun.
Anyone else nicked up tonight that we need to point out?
I didn't see anybody else, you know, kind of leave the game or anything like that, you know, other than the ordinary, you know, nicks and bruises.
All right. Appreciate that. We'll wait to hear more from you as we roll along. Give you the final rushing numbers quick and take a break. Jaguars did not run very much. Deja Kareem had 2 carries for 9 yards. Jennings, 3 for 2 yards. Kackert, 1 for 2. Harris, the quarterback, 1 for 1. Maurice carried twice but didn't gain any yards. And, hey, look, that's fine. Twice is probably too much. Let's go downstairs. We have Scotty McGee, who has joined us through Jeff Loggan. I'm going to get the numbers here real quick for you. He had 3 returns for 104 yards on kickoffs, Jeff.
All right, Scotty, 3 returns on kickoffs, 104 yards. You had a couple punt returns. I'm sure you'd like to have the last one back. First NFL action, your impressions?
It was exciting. It was definitely a pleasure and an honor and a blessing to be out there on the field competing with the top level guys. You know, this is the NFL. This is the highest level of play. And just for me to go out there and perform the way I did, I'm very pleased.
It's been a long way from Virginia Beach to James Madison, now to Jacksonville for an NFL team. Has it been explained to you kind of your chance of making this team and that has been put out there in front of you, and what have they said to you?
Well, they really haven't said too much to me. They just said, you know, go out, compete each and every day and just work hard and, you know, put yourself in the best position possible to make that 53-man roster.
And you play another position too. A lot of people don't know that. Defensive back, right?
Yes, cornerback. Cornerback. Had a PBU tonight.
All right, explain that now. A lot of people don't know.
Pass breakup. Had a pass breakup. Yep.
So next week, Miami, for you to make this team, obviously a return. That's they explained. I mean, it, from what I have been told, you got to be a returner, and you've got to be an electric returner.
Yes, and, you know, I'm going to continue to do that. And, you know, I feel God has blessed me with the talents and abilities to go out there and return that ball just to bring him glory. And that's what I'm going to be doing week in and week out, preseason, regular season, postseason. It's all about bringing God the glory.
Thank you, Scotty.
No problem.
All right, here are the numbers on the kick returners. Deji Kareem, 4 for 153 total yards, a 68-yard long. That's a 38.2 average on kickoff returns. McGee, 3 for 104 with a 34.7 and a 46-yard long. We'll take a break and return. More of the Winn-Dixie post-game show to follow after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. All right, back to wrap things up from Lincoln Financial Field, where the Eagles pull it out 28-27 in the preseason opener for both teams. Back to the locker room one more time for the O'Reilly Auto Parts Offensive Player of the Game, and I think there's no question it's Luke McCown, is it?
He had nearly a perfect quarterback rating. I think he jump-started this team, got him back, you know, in contention on the scoreboard. A very solid outing for him and a guy that certainly needed to have that after kind of, I don't want to say lackluster, but kind of, you know, just okay practices.
Now, you know as well as I do that there are going to be a lot of people talking about him.
Oh, yeah, he should be the starter.
What does he have to, what does he have to do to merit that?
You got to get consistent. I mean, that's the thing about Luke is that, you know, David has clearly outperformed him in practice, and this is only one game. And if you were to take David against the second and threes, you will probably see a very similar result. But Luke has to show that consistency and show it in practice to earn the right to be able to get reps versus a first team, and so far he hadn't done that. Now, does this help? Certainly. But he's got a ways to go.
Well, 11 of 15, 3 touchdowns. It's a nice way to start for McCown. Logs, appreciate it. See
Enjoyed
you on the
it.
Plane ride home.
Enjoyed it, and study your mascots.
Trust me, I will have that one down next time. You're not going to get me on any one of these again. Promise you that one. Appreciate it. O'Reilly Auto Parts be making a donation to the Jack Del Rio Foundation in the name of Luke McCown. Time for the Bud play of the game. And, of course, it is a Luke McCown touchdown. Opening drive for him, second quarter. Jaguars trailed 9-0. He just let loose on first down at his own 27-yard line. Play action rolling out. McCown plenty of time looking down the field. He's got a man, and it is going to be caught. Williamson on the run. He's at the 20. He's at the 10-5. Touchdown! 73 yards and a touchdown. Made it 9-7. And, well, he would go on and throw two more of those. A 55-yarder to Tyquan Underwood was also a thing of beauty. And a nice one to John Matthews. Young man signed off the waiver wire after being released by the Colts a couple of weeks ago. So Luke McCown had a very strong performance tonight. That's our Bud play of the game brought to you by Budweiser. Beechwood aged for the perfect combination of flavor and refreshment. Budweiser is the great American lager. A lot of people to thank for their efforts tonight. John Dineen, our road spotter, keeping us up to date with the storylines and all the folks who are in and out of the game. Scott Kushner, our man here behind the scenes making everything happen. All the folks back with Cole and Pete and Marco and Linda and Jay, Vic Ketchman, Ed Rocco. Look, folks, the list is long and distinguished. Jay Gray, Ed Rocco, Linda Fortunato, Marco Coleman, Pete Banaszak, Vic Ketchman, Jeff Loggeman, John Dineen, and, of course, what would Jaguars football on radio be without Joe Fortunato? Philly boy, birthday boy, returning home. Doesn't come away with a win, but he enjoyed himself and had a couple of cheesesteaks to boot. So, until we talk to you with the Jack Del Rio Show on Tuesday evening, and by the way, don't forget this at Jags Voice Twitter. Send us your questions for Jack Del Rio. Send us your questions for the Jaguars This Week program. And, of course, throughout August and maybe into the regular season, we're going to utilize it. It was kind of fun tonight to get all the responses. And we've got time for some good questions. Interactive broadcast, right? Across your radio screen, not your radio dial. Have a great night, everybody. Brian Sexton saying, Cole, Pete, Marco are next with more of the Winn-Dixie post-game show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the Winn-Dixie post-game show. Now from Jaguars Central, Cole Pfeffer along with Pete Banaszak, Marco Coleman. After the Jaguars 28-27 loss in Philly to open the regular the preseason, rather, vote for your favorite MVP teacher to be the Community First Credit Union MVP Teacher of the Week. Your teacher could win club seats to a Jaguars home game. It's all part of First Down Touchdowns for Teachers. Visit CommunityFirstFL.org for details. All right, gentlemen, we have a lot to talk about. Let's start with the overview of what we saw today in general. Pete, first opportunity to see this team on the field in the 2010 incarnation. If I were to say, just tell me something about what you saw, what's the first impression?
Well, after watching the first quarter, I thought I was watching last year all over again. It looks very similar. You know, they came out and had good luck throwing the football down the field, kind of shredding our secondary up a little bit, mixed in with some good running, and offensively we just couldn't move the ball. We had a hard time running the football, which that eventually came around last year. But, it's a typical – nothing to get alarmed at or press any panic buttons, but there's some positives. And the positives were the big play, mm-hmm. the long pass, the big play. We haven't seen that in a while. I mean, that was visions of Jimmy Smith days, back then. And out of a couple of guys that I never really expected to see it, out of Williams and
Underwood. Both those guys can run. We
Underwood
know that.
Matthews warrants another good mm-hmm. look at. He played well, and Underwood made a great play. So there were some positive things, too. The kick returns were excellent. I never seen two guys, a combination
of
two
rookies.
Guys. Yeah, really appeared to be that they could be real threats, and that would be big on special teams.
Marco, what was your takeaway on this one?
The special teams, I think that was electrifying. Those two young guys, McGee and Kareem, DJ Kareem. Yeah, you got to be excited about those guys. Fast, aggressive, and then too, you got to look at this safety play. I think the competition at safety is something that brought my attention. Mm-hmm. Who are they going to have? Who are they going to finalize this deal with in the back end on the defense?
And we'll talk about that in a little more detail here in just a bit. Let's talk about the quarterback situation in the offense. I think Jeff made the good point that, it's not just about one preseason game. But I will say that all offseason, there was talk around the stadium about, Luke McCown's really looking good. They're looking for him to really push David Garrard they really want competition there. We hadn't seen it in training camp. I mean, Luke McCown had been average at best, but now the lights come on, and all of a sudden, here we go. I'm not considering to say there's a quarterback controversy. Clearly there's not. But I will say that the fact that Garrard struggled and McCown played particularly well, you at least have to keep your eye on it, don't you?
It's an eye-opener. I mean, you've got to keep one. Granted, Garrard's our quarterback, but if I'm David Garrard and being a little scrutinized in the offseason by the owner and by the head coach, and McCown comes in on his first exhibition game and lights it up, mm-hmm. I mean, almost a perfect passing rating, that would give me a little bit of a sweat underneath the armpits if I'm David, and I'm going to start worrying about that a little bit. But you know what? It'll make mm-hmm. David better.
It will.
It'll make David a better football player because he's
a competitor.
He's a competitor, and this will do anything but help him.
Yeah, you got to think, too, you had your two starting tackles out. I'm pretty sure that the offensive coordinators came into this game, we're not going to allow David to get in a position to where he can get hurt.
Yeah, and you can see that with all the short passes.
Yeah, real conservative as it pertains to that first-team offense.
Now, you talk about the offensive line, and that's an area we're going to keep a close eye on throughout the course of the preseason. Not so much the tackles. We know that Monroe and Britton are going to be the tackles there as long as they're healthy. It's the interior three that we really are going to – because there's a lot of competition there with Vince Monoi, Brad Meester, Uche Nwaneri, Justin Smiley's worked in there, Keenan Forney. A lot of guys have worked in there. Did you see anything that started to take form at all in terms of the guards and center today, Marco, that you thought –
Well, they didn't run the ball much, and I think that's the strength of those three guys. I mean, each one of those guys you name are not outstanding pass blockers. I don't think you're going to get anything more than what we've already seen in the pass blocking scheme. Now, who's going to step up and be the constant as it pertains to always getting that mash that they need up the middle for the run? And they didn't run the ball much at all.
No, they really didn't. Pete, what about the second wide receiver position? That's the other offensive area we're really keeping a close eye on. Mike Sims-Walker is going to be the number one, and then who's number two?
I'm a little bit excited about that. I think maybe we're going to find. I'm very cautious, But Williamson, you know, that's great speed. And the thing I like, it's the big play. Mm-hmm. You know, that explosiveness. And that's what you got to have in this league. And Underwood coming in there and making a big play. And this young kid, John Matthews.
Don't put Shane Matthews at wide receiver, right? The old Gator quarterback.
Oh, that's
yeah. quarterback.
John Matthews. Yeah.
John, yeah. But he warrants to get more attention. You know, they got to take a good look at him in the next couple exhibition games. You know?
And then remember, Jared Dillard comes back from injury. He could be ready to go this week.
So, you know,
a lot of competition.
Yeah, there's reason to be optimistic, you know, that we might have something here.
And yet, 0-for-9 on third downs and just 14 rushing yards.
With the first group, you have to consider not having those offensive linemen in there, your starters, and how conservative they are. They were in positions on third downs. I think early, the first third down, mm-hmm. and we even mentioned how they're not going to really go all out on this thing. They're not going to allow David to drop back and sit there, knowing that you don't have your starting defense, you know, offensive tackles in, and allow him to get in a position where he could possibly get hurt.
Yeah. True, although you could have seen some sharper play, too. That's the other side of things.
Yeah, but, I mean, here it was. I think it was probably 3rd and 10. It was a long –
and David threw a pass.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Didn't do much. All right, Bueller Watch Company is proud to be the official watch of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Bueller Watches, available at Allen's Jewelry in Jacksonville, Robeson Jewelry in Fernandina Beach, Fawcett at Rainbow in Ocala, and Kingsley Jewelry in Orange Park. We'll come back and take a look at the defense. Some of the thoughts from Pete and Marco about what they saw tonight as the Jaguars dropped the preseason opener 28-27. More of the Winn-Dixie postgame show still to come right here on the Jaguars Radio Network. Back on the Winn-Dixie postgame show, Cole Pepper, Pete Vanizek, Marco Coleman after the Jaguars' one-point loss in Philly to open the preseason. McDonald's new fruit smoothies and wild berry or strawberry banana beat the heat with a McCafe smoothie only at McDonald's. All right, let's talk about the defense, gentlemen. Starting with the pass rush. Marco, this is going to be a real area of emphasis. Of course, we did not see Aaron Kampman out there. Tyson Alualu did not play as well.
But the guy that we're looking to get some rush, Mr. Harvey, he's still...
He did make the one play, knocking the ball free on
which was
on
really
Michael
good.
Vick.
I mean, you can say that, you know, that it wasn't a good rush, but when you have a player like Michael Vick, you have to have a controlled rush. And Derek Harvey did a really good job of maintaining his responsibility of not allowing Vick to run outside, but go inside and coming right back and be in a position to make the play. That was a really outstanding play that he made there.
One of the guys who I have really seen who's flashed a bit in the offseason practices and training camp is Larry Hart, who's a rookie out of Central Arkansas. And, Pete, I thought he showed some explosiveness up the field, but he's an undersized guy. He's going to have to...
Everybody got arms on him like a fence post.
Yeah, right? Yeah. He's going to have to play that Dwight Freeney style of pass rusher. He's going to have to have that kind of technique if he's going to be successful. But he does have that quick first step.
Yeah, and that's essential to have, you know, in a pass rush. But, you know, we've got to develop some guys here that can really shoot up the field. You know, we last year 9 sacks, I believe, total, last in the league. You know, I saw Harvey with that good push and made a good play on coming around the backside and hitting Vic's arm and fumbling that ball. But boy, I know Campman's not in there, but we need to do better than what we did tonight. You know, and the thing about it is it takes longer for the offenses to come together. I was frankly disappointed what I saw on defense in the first two series. I was disappointed as a unit, our line play, our pass rush, and our secondary, and our total defense.
Mm-hmm. The thing with Hart is they have to get a player that can play every down. It's tough to come off the bench just on third down.
They got that guy. It's Aaron Kampman.
But when you're talking about trying to have Hart in the mix, then, you know, he's not going to be out there every down. And you can't expect a lot for a guy to just come out just on third downs, just on passing downs, and say, okay, now get us a sack. Pass rushing is something you have to get working to a rhythm, get to feel the guy. You know, and it's hard to do, especially for a rookie to just come on out and expect him to be that big of a spark plug.
That's how they're going to use him, though. I mean, that's
tough. I mean, you got to be realistic. You know, and understanding the concept of being a defensive lineman. It's tough to come out there in just one play and just go get a sack. That's just
you
want really to
get a little bit of a pass rush rhythm.
You got to
feel it.
You got to know who you're going against, and especially for a rookie.
All right. How about the tackling today? And Pete, you've been railing on this for years, and league wide, I think the tackling is not what it used to be, but that's a real issue, particularly for defensive backs for the Jaguars. What do you see out of the tackling here in this first preseason game?
I thought it was better. I did, especially the linebacking and as old. There were some missed tackles. Reggie Nelson had a couple missed tackles. I liked some play. I thought Considine looked good and tackled well, and it was under control, not running in like a raped ape in a forest fire, you know. And you can't run around helter skelter, and you got to break down, you know, tackling. Marco, great defensive player. It's technique. There's a way to tackle, and you got to tackle.
And these guys, you know, I thought Gilbert that came in. He was
Tony Gilbert.
Know, he came in with that second group. Did a good job of making some tackles. He got blasted a couple of times by the fullback, but when he wasn't getting blocked, he was making some good tackles.
I'll say, that's just an interesting story. Here's a guy who obviously has been with the Jaguars, was for a stretch, and then came in just, you know, this past week. You know, didn't have a lot of time to practice and get back up and get
and
up to speed.
Around, well, I was kind of
moved around
way,
all right.
He was where he needed to be. You know, he got through. And you can see he didn't have the legs that everyone else had a couple of times when he was getting blocked. His leverage wasn't quite there. But when he got to the right spots at the right times, he made the tackles. He was a sure tackler.
What about the coverage? I mean, safety in particular is an area it's wide open. I mean, Jack Del Rio said it's a wide open position. And we saw some big gashes in terms of the passing game from the Eagles in the early going.
Yeah, I mean, you can say that, you know, Reggie Nelson, you know, made a few mistakes, but he had more opportunities than everybody else. Mm-hmm. I think if you left the rest of those guys out there, you might have seen something similar if they would have had more cracks at it. Reggie looked like he played almost the whole game. He was in with the first group and with the
In the fourth quarter.
Exactly.
All right, I'm going to put you guys both on the spot here because the safety position, both of those safety positions are going to be competitive, I think, right down to the last game. If you had to make the decision right now, who would the Jaguars starting safeties be, knowing we still have three preseason games? But as of right now, who do you have?
I like Smith.
Anthony Smith?
Yeah, but I like and Considine.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Pete?
I agree with Marco. I tell you, I'm going to make a prediction right now that Reggie Nelson does not make this ball club. It won't be here opening day against Denver.
All right. Well, I don't think you're going out on a huge limb there. I think there's not a lot of middle ground for Reggie. I think either he's got to be a regular or
he doesn't do a lot on the special teams.
He doesn't help you another way. That's exactly
right.
Yeah,
like Brackenridge. You know, he comes in on special teams and makes plays.
Yep, exactly.
And that'll come into play.
Mm-hmm. Middleton, some of those other guys who do the same thing. All right. The test drive, the new 2011 Ford Super Duty, the new 2011 Ford Mustang, or the all-new Ford Festiva, Fiesta, and only at your local Southern Ford dealers. Test drive anything you can get your hands on over there, you know. Just go over there, do your best micro, and make it happen. All right, back with more of the Winn-Dixie postgame show. When we come back, the Sexton summary, the highlights from tonight's game. Jaguars lose it in Philly, 28-27. Back with more after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Winn-Dixie postgame show. Following the Jaguars' 28-27 loss in Philadelphia to open the preseason. Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. All right, time now for the Sexton Summary, the Metro PCS Sexton Summary. We'll look back at some of the highlights from today's game. Jaguars fell behind 9-0 after three David Akers field goals from inside of 32 yards. All three times the Jaguars defense able to hold in the red zone. And then Luke McCown came into the ballgame, and it took exactly two plays from McCown to make his presence known.
Here's play action rolling out. McCown plenty of time looking down the field. He's got a man, and it is going to be caught. Williamson on the run. He's at the 20. He's at the 10. 5. Touchdown. Troy Williamson grabbed that one and took it in the end zone.
73 yards worth. Made it a 9-7 Philly lead. It was 16-7 after Michael Vick's 10-yard run. And on a drive that was helped by a Don Carey pass interference call. Jaguars would get it back, and McCown again wouldn't take very long to make a big play. He hooked up with Troy Williamson on a 29-yard hookup. Then three plays later, he would find the end zone.
Pocket collapsing, and he's going to get hit. Bounces to the outside, looking down the field. Plants turns and throws. It's intercepted. Michael Coe's going back the other way. He's got blockers at the 50-yard line. Looking for one at the 40. Down the sideline to the 30. Sprints to the 25, and run out of bounds right there.
That was Michael Coe with the interception on a pass by Michael Vick after the McCown to John Matthews touchdown made it a 16-14 game. And for the first time, the Jaguars had the lead after Josh Scobie's 36-yard field goal as time expired in the first half. Jaguars would stretch the lead to 20-16 on a Scobie field goal from 49 yards out early in the third quarter. And after David Akers booted one to make it a one-point game, McCown once again would strike with a deep ball.
And McCown crouches under center, takes the snap, pocket collapsing, launches this one down the field. He's got Tyquan Underwood, who grabbed it to the 10, 5, touchdown, Jaguars!
What a throw.
It was 27-19 at that point. Martell Mallett would score a touchdown in the following Eagles possession early in the fourth quarter to make it 27-25, and later a David Akers field goal made it 28-27. That was the final. But some big plays in the passing game from the Jaguars with Luke McCown at the helm. Three touchdown passes for McCown, and certainly was the star of the game today. That was the Metro PCS Sexton summary. With no signed contracts, Metro PCS lets you unlimit yourself. All right, we'll take time out when we come back. We'll name our protector of the game, our coverage of the game. Also still to come, the first installment this year of the good, the bad, and the ugly. It's all coming up on the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show, right here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to Winn-Dixie Postgame Show. Following the Jaguars' one-point loss in Philadelphia to open the preseason, at GEICO, you have a choice of ways you could save on car insurance. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Go online to geico.com or stop by the GEICO office nearest you. Cole Pepper here with Pete Vanaszak, Marco Coleman. All right, guys. Time to name the protector of the game, brought to you by the Insurance Office of America. This will go to the typically the most outstanding offensive lineman. And, well, we kind of dug on this one a little bit today. When you see running plays, big running plays, it's kind of easy to pick out who that one is. But, Marco, you kind of liked what you saw out of Jordan Black at left
Jordan
tackle.
Black, yeah, he held pretty stout. From what I've seen, yep. You know, him didn't have a lot of pressure on the quarterback, especially not coming from his side. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of running plays to actually get a real good assessment of the run blocking. But I think he held his own pretty well tonight.
All right. And also time now for the Baptist Health coverage of the game. Baptist Health, Jacksonville Circle of Care. And, Pete, when you got a guy with an interception, that's usually pretty good coverage. He wasn't draped all over somebody, but Michael Coe got the pickoff.
No, he got a good pickoff, and that led to a touchdown.
Yep. And turned it around, points off turnovers right there. So,
exactly.
All right, I want to talk a little about special teams. I want to talk about the rookie return men. Deji Kareem averaged 38 yards a kickoff return. Scotty McGee averaged 34 yards a kickoff return. Tell you what, if these two guys can make any kind of an impact in the kick and punt return games, Marco, talk about a way to change a game in a hurry where you can make – the Jaguars haven't had consistent big-time special teams plays in terms of the return, really since Reggie Barlow. We thought Brian Witherspoon might do it a couple of years ago. He couldn't stay healthy.
Yeah, and the fumble. He had
fumbles
the fumble.
Issues. But when you have guys who can, you know, flop field position, that can make a big difference.
And we'll have to see him throughout the rest of the preseason. Mm-hmm. You know, this is the first game. It's real easy for a rookie to be excited and motivated to come out here in his first game, his first appearance as an NFL player. Mm-hmm. I mean, these guys are highly motivated as rookies. And, of course, they are outstanding talents, you know, physically. They can run. They're stout. They're strong. But let's see them throughout the rest of the preseason. And once they get used to being a pro, or how they continue to prepare, if they get better, you know. But like you said, special teams, they're definitely game changers.
Pete, both of these guys look like they can make a difference.
I tell you, they can shake and bake. They're scooters. And I'll tell you what, special teams in my days in Madden used to always tell us that special teams play alone can win you three games a year. At least. So,
or lose you three games.
Or lose
you
three. Yeah. Exactly. It can go the other way as fast. But these two guys, you know, usually you have one that stands out, you know, that does both. There's, both of them look good to me. I mean, Kareem and McGee are, boy, that was excellent today. Excellent returns.
And it seems like there's space to keep both of these guys, too, because you figure, you know, Kareem, when you bring him over on offense, he's another threat. If you get him out in open space and pass him some screens and things of that nature, now he gets that space like on a kickoff. And with you know, other McGee yeah. and being a defensive player, going down on some kickoffs and making some tackles on the on those type of plays.
The more you can do,
the more
valuable you are.
And I don't think they're looking at McGee so much as a coverage corner, but as you mentioned, like, guy can help on special
yeah,
teams,
special
run down,
team,
make,
yeah,
make a tackle there.
Yep.
All right, two guys will certainly deserve some attention here over the next 3 weeks in the preseason and perhaps beyond that. All right, we'll take time out. When we come back, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. It's straight ahead here on the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show on the Jaguars Radio Network. Back on the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show, Cole Pepper, Pete Banaszak, Marco Coleman. Peter, we're back.
The good. Well, the good thing is football season's here. That's number one. But getting a little more technical here, though, what we were just talking about, when you can get kickoff and punt returns like these two guys can do it, that's a big asset. And we were just talking about how important special teams are. And I always considered, and I don't know how you felt about it, Marco, when anybody ever got a touchdown against us on a return, a kickoff return or a punt return, it was a damn cheap touchdown, you know, because you got to battle your way and take it 22 plays to make a, 85-yard drive, and they can score within
one
second.
Play. Just one play.
And that, and if you have those weapons, boy, that's a big asset. I thought Luke McGowan was a good thing to see. As I mentioned earlier, I think this will make David Garrard, competition's great. And this will bring David up a little bit, and I don't think David has a threat. You know, this one performance, you know, you flip-flop that around, and David Garrard probably would have done the same thing with the second defense in there. But that was good stuff. And I thought our outside receiving, Williamson, Underwood, Matthews, they all look, we got to see more of that. We got to see more of that in exhibition game. The bad thing was I thought our first team defense was not effective in the first part of the ball game at all, nor was our offense. And, of course, our running game, you know, we've got to work. Offense, as we all know, takes longer to develop and get your timing than defense does. But we got to work at that running game. You know, remember a couple years ago, our running game didn't come around until about the sixth, seventh game of the season. And if we would have had it come the opening week, we probably would have won three, four more ball games. So, you know, we've got to really get some running in. And the ugly thing is, we got three more of these darn exhibition games.
We got it late nights. <Yeah. laughs>
Well, and the other thing is, we've got another hour to go locally in Jacksonville. Coming up, we'll have more comments and take some calls on the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show. I want to remind everybody that the new program, Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, debuts Monday night on WOKV, our flagship station in Jacksonville. And an opportunity for you to interact with general manager, Gene Smith. You must be a Facebook friend of the Jacksonville Jaguars to do so. So, Pete, I know you're a big Facebook guy. Spend all your time on it. And you can go on there and
24/7
Facebook.com/Jacksonville Jaguars. Just become hit the like button, and you'll be able to interact.
Be a friend.
During the show. Be a friend. Come on, be a friend. Friend me if you want. All right, we'll take time out right here. Quick pause. For those of you on the network, thanks for listening. We look forward to having you back next week as the Jaguars have the home opener here at Everbank Field against Miami on Saturday night. For those of you in Jacksonville, stick around. We take your calls at 800-355-NFL1. Straight ahead on the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show after the Jaguars' 1-point loss in Philadelphia.